This is PFW in progress.
You want to work 8 to 10 hours? You own nothing? You got nothing? You know I eat octopus 3 times a day? How do you like that? I'm a political prisoner, and I want my human right. Now, just like the president, give me Carter says.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Why don't you try sticking your head up your ass? See if it fits.
Paul Perillo.
You're 50, you got a bag for a belly, they got hair on them, you got a liver, they got spots on it, and you're a junkie. Sleeps all day with them black chains on, wakes up with a quailu.
And Andy.
You need people like me. You need people like me so you can point your fingers and say, that's the bad guy.
Andy Hart.
So say goodnight to the bad guy. Come on. Last time you're going to see a bad guy like this again, let me tell you.
Some guy named Tom.
Let's get this straight. All I have in this world is my balls and my word. And I don't break them for no one. You understand?
PFW in progress.
You want to play rough? Okay. No. Say hello to my little friend.
Noon at Gillette Stadium, minus our illustrious leader. What's the matter? We got nothing? We all right?
All good.
See, without the illustrious leader, you never get off to a flawless start without Fred Kirsch. But he is not here, and everybody else is.
And it's Tuesday.
Right. And appropriately, we did have a quick email that I want to read from Jonas, who says, you know, based on our show from last Thursday, Fred takes his first shot to use his elaborately designed "See you next Tuesday" sign off. And he Freds it up. Way to go, Frank.
He Freds it up.
He did screw it up, if you guys remember.
He screws everything up. That's Fred being Fred.
That's true.
Which great listener is getting us lunch today?
I was going to say.
Apparently none of them, because there's nothing in front of me.
You're going to be seeing us next Wednesday if we don't start getting lunches, because we're going back to once a week.
We're all sick. We don't have any energy. We have no food. How are we supposed to get through a show?
And the thing was, we had like 8 people lined up.
They
at
jumped
the end
ship.
Of the year.
One loss in the Super Bowl, and they've jumped ship.
Hey, yeah. The team choked. We didn't. We're still here.
That's right.
We're finding out a lot about the
maybe not choking.
PFW and progress listenership.
Bill anyway, was right all along.
You've heard all.
It's
the
all
names.
About Super Bowl wins. He means everything, not us.
You've heard all the voices: Andy Hart, Tom Casale, Eric Scalavino is with us from the start of the show. A beginning of the show appearance for Eric.
No practice to cover today.
That's true. No
his
practice.
Voice, his voice sounds better when he's sick.
How about like the sad look on his face? No practice today.
No.
It's like someone stole his ball and he had to go home. No practice today. All right, but we don't know where Fred is, and he's off planning some sort of multi-billion-dollar enterprise somewhere.
Or tearing down the Kraft's fortune dollar by dollar.
So the four stooges will have to get you through a Tuesday edition, an off-season edition of PFW in progress. Big news.
The Pro Bowl.
Hot off the presses. The signing of
T.J. Slaughter. Yeah.
We don't have to worry about Junior Seau and Teddy Bruschi anymore.
Sure.
Obviously, we're being
guy that was out of football last year.
Tom, you were a big T.J. Slaughter fan. I know the fans already know about this because Mike Reese had it in his blog yesterday.
I was a big T.J. Slaughter fan.
Yeah, you said you were a big T.J. Slaughter fan coming out of that draft.
Oh, no, yeah, I liked him. It must be those. There's two uniforms that must do it for me for college, Virginia Tech and Southern Miss. Whenever I see a defensive player in one of those uniforms, I think they're great. I like Slaughter coming out, but I think he's been with every team in the league now in 3 years.
Yeah.
So
hasn't gone well for him, and he was out of football altogether last year.
Right, but if you're interested in his personal life, I'm pretty sure there'll be a one of those things in our newspaper. The
Tom will do a little getting to know.
Getting to know T.J. Slaughter.
Of course, if he's still here by training camp.
Right, and obviously not a guy that's going to probably vie for any kind of starting job or anything like that. But, another one of those depth kind of signings that the Patriots like to make. They brought him in December for a workout.
He's a model and a middle linebacker, according to his website.
Really? A model and a middle linebacker.
I hope he's having more success as a model than he is as a middle linebacker.
That's true.
Or as Gary did printing this photo, he kind of looks like Zeus. What is it with these model/football players that look like Zeus we keep signing? Who was the guy from
Dante
Carolina?
Wesley.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Dante Wesley.
He's got the same look as Dante Wesley. The weird eyes and... Looks like
worse
he's got a
Dante scar. Wesley. I'd re-sign him. Can't be any worse than the schlubs they got in that secondary right now.
Did he latch on anywhere?
I don't remember.
I don't think he did.
I don't remember. Strippers, get on that. Anyway.
And somebody, get on lunch, for Christ's sakes.
Not a whole lot going on this week. We have definitely hit off-season mode.
Thank
Well, the
God.
Pro Bowl. We got to talk about the Pro Bowl. Asante Samuel laying the lumber.
We got another show this week.
The Patriots being booed. The only team being booed upon introductions at the Pro Bowl.
How about
that? That is true. I suppose that there is a noteworthy aspect
the
of that.
The tide has turned. Hate has taken over.
The
you
six
lose,
Patriots
and everybody
that showed
just
up to the
on.
Pro Bowl, that would be Mike Vrabel, Asante Samuel, Dan Copen, Logan Mankins, Matt Light.
Vince Wilfork.
And Vince Wilfork.
Wilfork.
They were all booed during pregame introductions.
Yep. And I guess OCU Mignora got a huge ovation.
I actually saw his
the only Giant.
They told him that they were all rooting for the Giants, which makes sense. I mean, you know, the players, they don't like the Patriots. That's
right. Plus,
obvious.
You don't want to see a team go undefeated. Yeah. How bad does that make you look if you're on another team?
And you root for the underdog. Well, I mean, if you're another player, you're not rooting for the dominant
Doesn't it make
team.
You look better if a team goes undefeated? Because then everyone can say, well, we all lost to them. Then if one team beats them, team kind of...
I understand your point, but I don't think it... if I'm a player in a league, I don't want to be able... I don't want to have to admit that one team is so much better than everybody
else. Certainly not helping the coaches at all.
Right. But the what else happened in the Pro Bowl? I'll be honest with you, I didn't watch
it. Asante Samuel had a hit. I saw that.
I ended up watching a lot of it because there's nothing on TV anymore, but...
I was kind of watching, but I don't really remember anything.
Yeah, I watched
Adrian Peterson ran for like a,
to me
a mile.
He had over 100 yards rushing, a couple touchdowns. He got the MVP despite the open campaign by Terrell Owens during the game.
Well, at the time he was the MVP at the time that he said it.
Right.
T.O. was the, but then Adrian Peterson. But my MVP was that Darnell Dockett, the defensive tackle for, I said to Andy, for the Cardinals. No one could block him. Then I realized it was Copen that he was going up against. But,
Has the worm turned more quickly on a unit than the Patriots offensive line?
Ask PFWs. I mean, do they need to go in heavy into the draft, turn over the offensive line? I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
that
right
group is in trouble.
This Mayock, I just can't stand him.
Speaking of turning quickly, Tom's best friend a month ago.
The worm turned any quicker on a draft expert than Tom Casale on Mike Mayock.
Boise State offensive tackle, Ryan Clady. That's the guy that the
Patriots.
That's
who Mayock has as his seventh best
prospect. The guy
prospect.
The Patriots will draft. Write it down, Eric. Write it down somewhere.
Okay,
put that
I'm writing
in your book. That's
where
who they're going to draft.
Where is he going to play? Right or left tackle?
Probably right.
They can get him in. First of all, they got to get rid of Kazier. He can't play. Let's be honest. He stinks. So you're going to have to get rid of him. And he'll probably start off at right, then move over to left.
Does that mean they don't have much confidence in O'Callaghan? If Kazier is that bad and O'Callaghan was riding the pine the whole year, does that mean they're like...
I think O'Callaghan's a guy.
Right.
I think he's a guy on the team. My point is we just looked at the draft pretty good this morning. There's no play. This draft is whoever started that rumor that this was deep. I think it was us. but all the juniors didn't come out.
Right.
Like you were saying to Paul, someone wrote in about the Oklahoma State tight end, and he didn't come out. I mean, he was a beast. All those linebackers didn't come out. Pretty deep at corner.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty deep on the lines, offense and defensive lines, and pretty
running
deep at running back. But linebackers, those inside linebackers, now that Maualuga, Laurinaitis, and Cushing didn't come out. I mean, you're not going to find anything.
Yeah.
You're just not going to find it.
I think deep is a way of saying not good sometimes. They say, oh, it's deep. And you know why it's deep? Because you can't decide who's good, so you say it's deep.
I think that's one of those
And I'm going over my rankings now.
Euphemisms
where
I'm not good.
I go to, like, different Kuiper. I go to the NFL Draft Scout, and I look at their top 10 rankings and then try to put my own together, sort of average them. And they're all over. There's guys, one has them two, one has them eight. And that tells me there's no clear divide in talent there. Usually if a guy's that good, like Glenn Dorsey and Cedric Ellis are clearly the top two tackles. But there's a lot of positions where, like, corner, receiver, all over the place in terms of rankings. So,
and you usually see that more in the middle, like running back.
Right.
Like, some people may like a Mike Hart, and some people, like, you see that more in the fourth, fifth round guys, but usually near the first couple rounds, you get a pretty clear idea who's setting themselves apart. And I just said, we turned on NFL Network, and Brandon Flowers, the cornerback from Virginia Tech, was their 11th best prospect. I just saw some pretty reputable site that had him as their 8th best corner. So that's the kind of divide that there is this year.
And I think that, you know, to illustrate your point, Andy, about the deep, you know, is just kind of another way to say it's not good. you also hear a lot of people say, well, you can get the you can get a guy at 50 that's everybody as good as the guy at 30 and whatever. I think there's truth to that.
Right.
And I think that tells you that it's really not that strong a draft because you shouldn't be able to say that I can – it doesn't matter where I pick. If I pick 20th, 40th, right. 60th, I'm going to get the same guy. You should that shouldn't be the case.
Sort of like the old Patriots 2002. Top to bottom, 1 to 53, they got a deep roster. Well, now maybe they're not as deep, but they happen to have 9 Pro Bowlers and guys like Randy Moss and Tom Brady who are breaking records.
Yeah, so I think you can see the Patriots go on the line unless they find a corner that they really like.
I still think corner would be the ideal target if they can fall in love with a guy that's worth the 7th pick. Otherwise,
like you said, everyone's got the guy from Troy as their top corner.
Right.
I'm sorry. He's got Kaysan from Arizona has 15 interceptions. This guy's got like 6 in the same time frame. If you're at Troy, you need to be DeMarcus Ware. You need to have 23 tackles right. for losses, 18 sacks. That's what I want to see at Troy.
And you were saying they tout him as a great return man. How do I know? He plays at Troy. No offense, but if I want a great return man who played against great athletes, like Miami, FS, you know, whatever the you deem USC, this guy played on a level where he might have just been the best athlete on the field, and he's not really that great of a return man.
And no one's saying, like, you and Yora went to Troy, DeMarcus Ware went to Troy. No one's saying he can't play in the league. We're just talking about if this guy ends up being the number one corner, is he worth the 7th pick in the draft? That's a tough one.
What did you see out of him in the, like, the Senior Bowl?
He was injured. He didn't play in the Senior Bowl. But normally there's like those one or two corners that everybody's fallen in love with. We haven't gotten to that point yet. Maybe that'll happen. But it's 7th pick's tough this year, it looks.
And everything we talked about earlier, the fact that everybody that's in the top 7, whatever it is, isn't as good as the version last year. Whether it's McFadden's not Peterson, whether it's everybody.
Long isn't Thomas.
All the prospects are not who they were last year.
Is your boy Jerry Jones still infatuated with McFadden?
I don't know what he's doing. He doesn't.
Neither does he.
But I, you know, and I, who heard it? Oh, Chris's people. But I was saying last week or somewhere, I don't know where the hell I was, but I was saying somewhere that I think the Cowboys will make a strong push for Samuel. And our webmaster, Chris, said he heard that on the radio this morning on the NFL.
Radio in quotes.
That serious. Who would make a run at him?
The Cowboys. Because they desperately need defensive back help. Because Anthony Henry, he can't start it.
And there's already teams lining up now. The Eagles, the Jets are already rumored to be heavily interested.
Yeah,
and with Samuel saying big, huge
no.
blockbuster contract is what he's looking for.
Because you're getting
peace out, Holmes.
Well, and plus, I think the way you're looking at the NFL right now, and you're saying, if you're the Cowboys or the Eagles, we got Newman, we got Shepard. If we bring in Samuel, now we have two very good corners. Then we move the next guy down to the third corner. Now you have three good, because you need three good corners to play these teams like the Patriots
Absolutely.
And the Colts. And, you know, I know the Giants don't have great corners, but they have a pretty good defensive line. A lot of teams don't have the luxury of having three or four pass rushers like the Giants do, which means your guys are going to have to cover more. But it's going to be a tough deal for the Patriots to get him.
Yep, I agree.
So then what do they do? I mean, what
draft
do you do?
Draft the corner
lose,
number 7.
If you lose, but still, I mean, you lose Samuel, what do you have? I mean, Trufant's not going anywhere.
Right.
The Raiders.
They say Ashimuga.
Right, they're probably going to franchise
him. I don't know how to pronounce his name, but.
That's pretty close. Pretty good.
What do you do?
I don't know. That's why we've talked about all year. There's going to be a lot of turnover on the defense.
He said this week in Hawaii, you know, he's kind of left the door open for a return.
He's
and
saying
even said,
all the right things.
He said, you know, it depends on how I feel that day. Maybe I'll give them the hometown discount or whatever. But
not giving anybody a hometown
discount. I think he's happy
think
to
he's
return
do,
as long as there's
right.
$90 million or whatever it is on the table.
Exactly. A hometown discount is not going to be what you and I might consider a hometown discount. He's going to take, you know, maybe I can get $100 million from someone else. I'll take $90 from the Patriots.
Right.
It's still going to be a blockbuster. But I do agree with Eric. He's saying the right things
yeah.
in
yeah.
terms of – I think, you know, you could say that it's lip service and he doesn't really mean it, but he's saying that he wants to return to the Patriots. He's saying that he loves his teammates. He loves the fans here. He's not burning any bridges. Now, that, I think, is where some of the problems came up with some of the other high-profile cases they've had, like Deion Branch and Ty Law in the past and some of those other guys, not so much with the fans, but saying outrageous stuff that got him in trouble. Now, there's no doubt that Asante Samuel wants a lot of money, but he's not talking about feeding his family. He's not talking about, you know, wondering where his next meal is coming from. We all understand this is major dollars that we're talking about. So I think he's doing it the right way in saying that his first desire is to return to the Patriots. I think that's the best way to kind of curry favor with the people that you, you're interested in. Now, if he starts negotiating in the press and stuff like that, then that'll turn people off and it'll turn the organization off in a hurry.
How much do you think that that has anything to do with how he played in that last drive in the Super Bowl? Because you remember, I think you even said it to us afterwards that, you know, his first comment in the post game of the Super Bowl was, you know, if I'm going to be the corner I think I am, I need to make that catch.
Yeah, he put it all on himself.
You know, if he makes that catch and they win and they go 19-0, is he even talking like that? You know, about maybe coming back here, like
if he makes that catch, I'll say that he is as good as gone. Because there's no, I mean, can you imagine what his price tag would have been?
I think his price tag is pretty high now. I agree that would have been another $10 million or whatever on top. But
in other words, does him not making that catch open the door more for him to return?
No,
in that he feels like he might have something that he wants to
see. I think it's very slight, but I think it does, because I think that if he had made that play, I think that there's no chance that someone wouldn't have said, "We got to have that guy." You know, a Jerry Jones type. Who's just going to go out and say, I'm going to give that guy whatever it takes to get him, and I'm not going to take no for an answer.
Plus, he would have gotten that other ring.
That may happen anyway.
It may happen anyway.
It may happen anyway.
But maybe in his mind, he's kind of thinking, you know, hey, I would have had that ring. I would have been all set. I would have, you know, cemented my legacy with this franchise. And he would have been maybe a little bit more willing to just jump ship right away. Maybe now he's kind of thinking, you know, the pieces are kind of in place here. Maybe there's still a run. I don't know. Maybe that's what he's thinking.
Maybe. But I still think it's bottom line.
No,
and it should be.
I think, Andy, you're right.
I think his legacy,
you're right.
His grandkids want to know about his legacy or the $100 million they got in the bank. I don't fault any player. Bottom line. I mean, yes, as you said, Paul, if it's a difference of $87 million one place and $83 another, okay. But if it's $90 million versus $60 million. I'm sorry. That's
right. And I think that's what most people would think would be a hometown discount, like Brady.
Right.
You know, Brady probably could have gotten a $100 million contract if he held out for every last dime. He took 60, whatever. That's a hometown discount. And I don't think that Samuel will do that.
And I think it's a little different situation with a Brady and a quarterback, because you are the face of the franchise. One, you're also with Bill Belichick the key to winning.
Be interesting Asante to see what Samuel, he does, by the way, now.
Yes. But Asante Samuel comes back here. To me, it's not the difference between winning and losing. And if he goes somewhere else, it's not the difference between winning and losing. So I really think he looks out just for money first and everything else extra.
Okay, well, clearly PFW in Progress has turned the page on the Super Bowl loss, and we're trying to pick up the pieces and move on. We're talking about the offseason. We're talking about the draft.
We have no lunch.
The Combine is upcoming. We're excited about that. Andy, a lot of pressure.
I know. I'm going to be stuck with Eric.
A lot of pressure. Eric, are you going to go?
Well, there's talk that if certain things happen, I might have to go.
Glad to hear that. Makes me feel less guilty for not going.
I love how Paul doesn't even consider going.
No. I did.
I just found
out about this last night.
And my guess is you said no.
No. Actually, I talked about it with Beth, and we tried to see if we could arrange it. I don't know how easy it would be. So I'm
not buying it.
You lying your ass.
I'm not selling it, so that's okay.
And just so everyone knows, I have something that came up that might prevent me from going. But Eric, now that I've been to the Super Bowl and the Combine, I don't know what he's talking about. To me, the Combine is way more work than the Super Bowl.
I agree.
This was
the Super Bowl,
based on the last Super Bowl.
But the Super Bowl, some of your time is traveling. Like, that's some of your work day. The Combine, from the second you wake up to the second you go to bed, is nonstop just running around. And it's not hard. It's just you're trying to get as much.
Yeah, there are 8 million players there. You have to
and
try to.
You know what they do is they, you'll be sitting there for a half hour with nobody, then they bring in 12 guys at the same time, and you're just because they all go to the medical thing first.
And no offense, Eric, it's not a great atmosphere for you. You're Mr. Sit Down. You like your touchy feely 17-minute interview.
Yeah. This is quick.
Boom, quick hitters. Patriots linebackers. Can you play within 2 feet? Boom.
That's basically all you're asking. 3-4 Patriots.
Yeah. He might not make it through the 4 days.
Brian Lowe will help out though.
Yeah. You remember him at the Super Bowl after media day? He was
out of gas.
Yes. That was
this
it.
Is like four straight days of media day.
Come on, we all ran out of gas. But it is at one point.
It's a lot of. I love the combine. I think it's a good
I love
time.
The draft.
Yeah,
I've never really gotten.
And it's like I said to you before, Eric. The thing I love about the combine is it's before these guys get with teams that start molding them. So at the combine, they just talk. You know, they don't really have an association to a college or a professional team right now.
Right.
And you never know what's going to come out of these guys' mouths because some of them will just, if they're big talkers, they'll just start going and they won't stop. So it's a good atmosphere before. I'd be interested to go back and see Brandon Merriweather last year. I don't really remember him. But when a team like the Patriots sinks their teeth in you, all of a sudden you stop talking.
So is that your favorite part of the combine is just getting to talk to them before they get –
Oh yeah!
Before they get to,
because you get great stories. Like the one year we got the Avant was the one who Jason Avant, the receiver from Michigan, just out of nowhere, you know, says, I've been working out with Rodney Harrison." So boom, you know, our antennas go up, you know, and we start asking them questions about that. So you never know who's related to who's working out with who. You never know.
So here's my issue, though. I love the draft. I love the whole aspect of drafting. The thing that irks me about the combine is that every year. Draft pundits and people who follow the combine fall into that trap of saying, oh, a guy had a great combine. He had a great workout in the combine,
year.
And then his stock rises, and then he's a bust in the NFL. And that's why
But it's not the pundits that fall in love with him. It's called teams.
Yeah, teams do, too.
Benjamin Watson is one of them.
Well, I know, but I'm saying, why did they fall into that trap every year? And then
it's
every year afterwards,
because you see a guy that is 240 pounds
like
of ripped muscle.
Yeah.
Runs a 4.5 40, and you go, holy crap, I can coach him up.
How can he possibly be able to play?
But
if I get him in my system and I coach him, I can make a play.
Some things that you can't teach.
Don't these teams look at college film?
Of course
Why
they
don't
do.
They base more of it on the college film than on 2 days
they
or 4
do.
Days?
They do,
but
there are far more players that have panned out as a result of their production in college than have busted out as a result of being – a workout warrior.
But there's ego involved. I can take this guy, and with his pure abilities, talents, and measurables, he can be a star for me.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, too, is you get to see GMs and down there, and you get to talk to them, and, you know, they kind of give you their assessment, and then you'll start hearing those names that are, you know, that's really the draft process right now. We're just kind of getting an overview, but it doesn't come into focus until you return from the combine.
Right.
Because then, you know, you hear those buzz names down there. All these guys that are on the move or might be sliding down.
Yeah, there'll be
guys
really where it starts. I've never heard of that I'll be, like, familiar with just like Guy Wimper or these random offensive linemen who are stars at the combine, and everybody starts raving about them.
Ryan Clady.
Tom's raving already.
Boise State.
I hope he has a terrible combine. I hope he's in the list of disappointments.
All right, so we got a couple of ways to join in on our off-season conversation here. Webradio@patriots.com is the easiest. Email us at webradio@patriots.com. We have John on the line. We also can give us a call, as John in L.A. has done. John, sorry to keep you waiting so long, but we just got excited.
That's okay, guys.
John, I really don't care what you have to say. When's that writer's strike going to end? Because I can't find anything to watch.
It's basically ending, like, tomorrow.
Okay, that's good news.
So you're getting paid again.
That's what I hear anyway. So
if you're getting paid again, why don't you send lunch?
No kidding.
Well, doesn't he still have to get a job?
Got a wedding to pay for.
Are you getting married?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Congratulations.
You're welcome.
I think we knew that.
Yeah, you did know that.
I don't listen.
Congratulations.
That's
right. You're welcome.
I know we want to turn the page, but I just have to say Super Bowl Sunday was on my birthday, and I was in New York and flew out of JFK the next day. It was the worst.
Yeah, I could see how that would suck.
Horrendous. But I just wanted to say I appreciate all you guys did out there. It was awesome. I just wish it had ended better, obviously.
Yeah, no problem. A guy doesn't got a job. He's all over the place. He's going to the Super Bowl.
Anyway, I'm wondering what you guys are thinking in terms of how many free agent linebackers you see the Patriots bring in. I love Tom's idea of Greg Ellis and bringing in one more even. What do you think of, like, a Carlos Dansby? Is he going to be too expensive?
Yes.
They're
going to probably franchise him.
I was just telling Andy upstairs there, John, if you look at that Arizona team, to me, I know you say this a lot about Arizona. They're kind of like the Bengals and the Lions where you lead up to every year. But I think with that new coach that they have there now, I think they really are close to competing, not only for a playoff spot, but to do some damage. Because in my opinion, Seattle's about done with their window of opportunity. So I would do whatever I could to sign Dansby. and I think keep him
Gunner.
There.
Sounds
yeah.
like that's the tenor of the thought.
What about other free agent linebackers?
Well, Ellis isn't a free agent. Now, that's just I know for a fact he wants out. He's wanted out of Dallas for a while. I just think he sees the writing on the wall. And he's only got, like, 2 years left, especially with his injury problems. And he really wants a ring. So I think he's going to want to trade out of there. And that might be something that on draft day that the Patriots might look into as a guy who could not only play outside linebacker, but as he did in the Pro Bowl, lined up at his old spot at defensive end. So you get a lot of versatility.
You also have Bobby Carpenter, who the Cowboys yep. are shopping. You have,
how much do you give up for Bobby Carpenter?
Just like a
mid-round pick, yeah, fourth, yeah. fifth. Yeah. I would definitely give that up to get him. Because I think he's a guy that could play inside or out here. Based on what we saw from him in college, I still think he can play in the system, even if he's done basically zero in the NFL.
And that's something, John, where if Belichick and Pioli liked him coming out,
right.
and they said this is a top, a guy that we would draft in the first two rounds, and then he goes somewhere else and doesn't work out, they may be interested in bringing him into their system if they liked him. Now, they may have hated him coming
and you
out,
may
so
over,
you don't know.
You can overpay in a trade, theoretically. I mean, most people might from afar say, well, the guy's a bust. He's a six-round, seven. But if you think he's a fit in your system, you go a pick higher than anyone else is willing to go. You're not on the hook for bonus money. He's still on a rookie deal, so there's not that much risk there.
There was a name I saw on the list that we just got with all the names that he was a good college player, and I haven't heard much from him since he got in the NFL, but Teddy Lehman,
yep.
Detroit, middle linebacker.
I would keep an eye on him. I would keep an eye on Adam Seward, who was a college 3-4 type linebacker. You're starting to get some of those guys come through that we looked at as draft prospects who are now, haven't done much or sort of low-level free agents.
Who Andy and I are about to be wrong for the second time about.
Right. Well, if they fit the system the first time, they should still fit the system, whether they stink or not.
I agree.
Didn't Seward play with Ryan Claridge?
Yeah,
he did.
Yeah, and they played some 3-4 at that time out there, and Seward was the higher prospect, and that's sort of how they stumbled upon Claridge and thought he might be a fit here, is that people were scouting Seward and saw what Claridge could do. But I think those are the type of guys you have to look for. They have to maybe sign 3 or 4 guys and hope to get lucky with one or two of them. Another interesting name that's out there is Dan Morgan. If he's a guy that has anything left health-wise, or if I don't know if he's just a concussion and injury machine now, but, Tom talks about those veteran guys. He's a guy that early in his career, first-round pick was an up-and-coming young linebacker until all the injuries hit.
Yeah.
If you could get him to play even a rotational role here, maybe he's a guy they look into in terms of his medical background.
Yeah, I mean, he's got all that history with the concussions, though.
But that's one of those things.
Bring him in, they need to get some young guys here. Mm-hmm. They need to get some young guys at linebacker, because at some point you're going to run out of 38-year-old linebackers to bring in. It's obvious that Eric Alexander and probably Pierre Woods, those guys
play in the last game of the year.
They don't do much for the entire season until the season's on the line. But they need to get some young guys in here, and that means the draft. They got to draft a couple guys, whether it be in the third, fourth, fifth round, just to bring them in.
And that's something they haven't really done much of, is draft linebackers.
Nope.
Since Bill and Scott have been around here. So we'll
only late.
Yeah.
All right, John.
All right, thanks again for everything, guys.
We appreciate the call. Thanks.
No thanks for lunch.
And again, if you want to give us a call like John did, or send lunch, more importantly, 508-543-7482.
What happened to all the people that were lined up? Before the Super Bowl, Super Bowl week when we had lunch, everybody was like, after the Super Bowl, we'll catch up with it. We know you have lunch this week. Right. Now they all disappeared.
When we were 18-0,
as did Fred Kirsch.
I blame Pierre Woods. He recovers that fumble, maybe they win that game, and maybe we have lunches.
Well, I'll tell you one thing I don't blame, Andy, and it seems to be the movement afoot among Patriots fans.
The clock.
We're getting a ton of emails about, we really need to look at this last drive or whatever. Long and short of it, when the Giants got the first down on fourth and short, Mike Carey stopped the clock, and the Patriots fans think that he didn't have any right to do so. However, they are incorrect, because the referee does have it within his discretion to stop the clock to make a determination of whether or not the first down was achieved. He does not have to bring the chains in from the sidelines in order to do that. He didn't do that at the time. He stopped the clock, eyeballed it, ruled that it was a first down, and then the clock started up again. But in the meantime, the clock had wound down in the stadium, and he had to reset it to the proper, I believe it was 128 at the time. But
is there any argument that maybe he just maybe he should have just brought the chains out just to be safe.
No, because he had the first down by plenty.
Because I hadn't seen the replay on it, so I didn't know how close it was.
And the thing on TV, watching it over, I was telling you, Paul, is that when the play starts, the clock doesn't run, but the clock on TV isn't the official clock.
Right, right.
And once they start running it, you see these seconds just wind down, like, and it goes to, like, from 128 to 112. So I don't know if that's playing a big part in it, but they definitely didn't start the clock on it. And the bottom line is, and we were there, we saw it live, they got whooped.
See,
if the Patriots won that game, they'd have been lucky to win it. Yep. And any Patriot fan knows that. You got whooped up front from start to finish. I mean, come on.
This, to me, says all I need to know. I don't know if you guys are aware. I'm sure you are, Andy, because I know you've looked at some of these things. But there's the website that actually documents this supposed snafu with the clock www.iamboard.com. Doesn't that say all
Sounds
you need
reputable.
To know? I mean that's a reputable thing that I'm sure the NFL is sanctioned to get out there. I mean, frankly, it just kind of makes us sound like a bunch of whiners.
And there's also a petition that 17,000 fans have signed.
Should we save this so the next time a team like the Ravens is complaining about bad officiating and our fans write in and say, just shut up and take the loss, should we save these petitions and stuff like that?
Or the Tuck rule.
And, you know,
it was a fumble, Andy.
it is what it is. You know, if you want to look at officiating, you know, deciding games, all you have to do is look at two college basketball games that happened last night.
Yeah.
The Villanova-Georgetown game was a travesty of an athletic event that you're calling a foul, you know, for those of you that didn't see this, 80 feet away from the basket on a play that really wasn't even a foul in a tie game with 0.1 seconds left in the game. I mean, that's deciding the outcome of the game. You know, not deciding whether or not it's a first down with 1.5 minutes left. And then not even taking, you know, the people that are complaining about this aren't even taking into consideration the way the Giants played the rest of the game. There was 1.5 minutes still left. So if the clock continues to run and it's 1:15, that changes everything. You're getting out of bounds. You're trying to kill you might have to spike the ball on a completion. You might, you know, use a timeout in a different spot. People are just subtracting the time that should have gone off the clock and saying that they wouldn't have scored.
Right.
I mean, that's really, really short-sighted.
Maybe they find Ellis Hobbs two plays earlier and score then. I just doesn't make much sense. And I have to say, you know, I'm not a Mike Carey fan, but I remember saying in the fourth quarter, I got to give Mike Carey props. He's calling one. I mean, they haven't really decided the game with any stupid calls.
Right. They didn't stand out, which is what referees should do in a game. They shouldn't stand out.
Matthew Fletcher has his email that he sends in. It says, game clock scam, : must read. And it's about 8 miles long. And
delete.
I'm not going to read it. We just talked
about
it.
Unless he sends lunch. If he sent lunch, we would promise
not,
to read
I mean,
it.
I'm not just dismissing the email because I have read a lot of these before we started the show, and they're all talking about the same thing, and that's what we're trying to talk about now. And I think Tom has this thing in a nutshell. They got whooped. And the Patriots admitted that. The Giants, you know, certainly aware of it.
They used the word stomped.
The fact that the Patriots were in position to still win the game is strictly a result of their overwhelming edge in talent. They were so much better man for man than the Giants in pure talent that they were able to stay in this game and have a chance to really win it at the end, despite really getting outplayed for the large portions of that game. And I think that's a testament to the talent on the New England Patriots, and that's why they were in position to do something that no one had ever done.
You know what I love? You know how after these things happen, you start to get those emails, like forwards that are related to these events? I got one this morning that said, the American Health Association has changed the universal symbol from choking, and it shows the old one, which was a picture of a guy grabbing his neck to a Patriots logo. I chuckle for 5 minutes.
What makes that so happy for you?
Because it's funny. That's where you people, you can make, if it's funny for me, if it makes fun of me and it's funny, it's funny. Makes fun of the Patriots, it's funny.
I make fun of funny. You, I think that's funny.
And sometimes Eric has made me laugh out loud a couple times when he's made fun of me.
Another really disturbing story out of Minnesota with talking about all these draft picks and stuff. He was, what, two years ago, 3 years ago?
Yeah, what happened?
Leukemia.
Yeah, he's been diagnosed with leukemia.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Young defensive lineman for Minnesota. We all liked him, too. I mean, not that it matters and more important stuff with his health, but we all really liked him coming out of college.
I like a lot of guys who are on USC.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's my new draft strategy. Yeah. Just,
you don't have to call me Mike Mayock for liking that guy.
And that's why, Andy, I had pointed to Mayock again as being a fraud. He's got Matt Ryan as his top player in this draft. Now, if you think Matt Ryan's going one, that's fine. But don't tell me he's the best player in the draft. Don't tell me Matt Ryan is the single best player over guys like McFadden and Dorsey and Ellis, because he's not.
You see what he was doing at the beginning of the show, Tom, that was on earlier? He had frame for frame, he was matching him up against Ben Roethlisberger, showing exactly the same plays that they had run and the way they had escaped the pocket and the way they were throwing certain plays. And that's all you need to know about him being a fraud. That's all I need to say.
Okay, I didn't know where you were going with that.
So he's going to win the Super Bowl within his first 3 years in the league. Where are you going with this? He's a great Pro Bowl quarterback with a Super Bowl ring.
I know. I'm being a little facetious, obviously.
That's funny. Now, that's why, and I know that you guys always make fun of our lads, okay? And now you can argue that they don't do it right. They don't have a good ranking system.
I just make fun of it because Fred uses it. That's basically
But I like the way that they do it. They don't pretend to try to pick who's going to get chosen where, what teams' needs. They give you the team's needs, but they don't tell you who they should take. They rank the players in their mind in order of ability. Mm-hmm. And you can argue that, say, well, how can they have Matt Ryan 4, he should be 8 or whatever. But they don't try to, you know, mix the two. And I think that that's what Mayock is guilty of doing, because I agree with you. There's no way that he thinks Matt Ryan's the best player in football right now, in college football. Wouldn't you think?
Right.
I think he thinks that he's going number one overall.
And I think that's a
that's
decent
two
argument.
Different things.
Right.
But that's two different things.
I agree, 100%.
What else you got? You
look like I was just going to say, I watched, you know, since we're in this hodgepodge of potpourri off-season chatter, I watched the NFL Network, one of their specials, Best Weather Games or Most Memorable Weather Games of All Time. It's a good special.
It's number one, the Ice Bowl.
I think I've seen
that. I believe so.
There's nothing worse than when they have a ranking thing like that and then they pick something stupid like the Ice Bowl is number one.
My favorite part, there was this Raiders guy, and I can't remember who he was. And he talked about a few different games. They used him for the Tuck Rule game here.
The Steelers game.
But the Steelers game with the frozen turf. And he was like, you just shut up, he kept saying. Cause
is it the linebacker? He's got, like, grayish.
I think
like,
so, yeah.
It's what's his name, Paul Italian name? Starts with a V. Used to play for the Raiders.
Phil Villapiano.
Yeah, Villapiano. Is that him?
I don't know.
The guy they usually
caught
talk
right
to.
There not paying attention.
you pulled it out, though.
He was entertaining. I find all those stories, and especially now it's a topic because of Spygate, like what's cheating, what's gamesmanship, and that game. You know, they had a tarp, but then the tarp miraculously split open and the whole field got wet and froze, and it was ridiculous. They showed the
turf. Oh, there's
no
question that the Steelers cheat. I mean, they always got accused.
And Art Rooney's like, we did our best to maintain a proper playing field, and they're throwing down ice melt.
It's just a sheet of ice.
Yeah, they were throwing down that stuff they put out here, like trying to get the field to and it was just, I found the whole thing interesting. Because you guys know I don't know a lot of those stories. To you, you probably heard more of them. But to me, I'm like, oh, that's a good story.
But I love the inside stories.
I also learned that Bronco Nagurski looked like a Greek god. Like, in my mind, what a Greek god looks like, chiseled, like, that was Bronco Nagurski.
You all right?
He makes fun of me.
I'm not saying it in a lustful way like Tom
does. Oh, that's
certainly
what it sounds like.
I'm saying,
Ramon goes to college.
You know those statues you see, like, in a library of what a Greek god looked like? That's what he looked like, and now I know why he was great.
Didn't any Turkish prisons either?
But then they show
you know those statues in a library where the Greek god looks like?
But then they try to and this might have been the next special, because they also had the best power running backs of all time that I kind of went into.
Earl Campbell, number one?
He was not, I don't believe. I think he was three.
That's one. That's a Dale
Sayers.
Jim Brown might have been one.
Oh, you can certainly believe that.
Gale Sayers was
the best part of one of them. I think number two was number 72.
Thanks, Lee.
The
Corso.
First black guy,
Marion Motley.
Yeah,
the guy's a beast.
Marion Motley was.
But the trouble with Bronco Nagurski is
number 72 is how he remembers.
Well, it was weird because he was. But some of these highlights are funny, and I'm sure they're limited in what they have to show. But they don't have impressive highlights. Like Earl Campbell, if you go by highlights, was
all you
the
have to
best.
Do is show that Monday night game against Miami or that game against the Rams when he. Drilled the guy in the chest. Isaiah Robertson right
there.
Did
they show the collision with Jack Tatum? Where they both knock each other out?
Yes, but he scores. He falls forward for the touchdown.
Yeah, and the result of that is he can no longer speak.
And then they show
that's
Bronco
one of the most vicious like collisions that you'll ever see.
And then they show Bronco Nagurski, and it's like him running a sweep, and no one touches him, and he scores.
I think two reasons for that is one, like you said, they don't have as much film.
Right, they probably have three clips.
They were like Jim Brown was so much better than everybody else.
Right,
like when Earl Campbell played, they actually had athletes on defense, right. But Jim Brown will tell you that when he played, they put all the athletes on offense, so the defenses were kind of slow. And,
right. And the other part I found interesting about him is he's clearly an interesting guy. Maybe I should read a book. Do they have good books on Bronco Nagurski? I bet you they do somewhere.
I don't know anything about him except he quit. Like
I hope they have pictures.
Well, he quit because he realized he wasn't making any money, and he went and joined professional wrestling and made a lot more money.
Yeah, that I knew.
And then during World War II, when all the young good athletes were in World War II, he went back to football, played defense as a linebacker. But in the NFL championship game, their running back got hurt. He went in, and he rushed for like 150 yards and scored the winning touchdown.
I knew he played both ways. I didn't know he went to the wrestling.
That's the type of thing you could do back then because there was only a few great players. Right. The guy could do whatever he wanted.
Well, yeah, because they
needed more than one job back then.
They show that clip of like them all coming around the goalpost and out of like a tunnel. And it all looks like just average Joes that they picked up down at the restaurant down the street.
As a total aside here, strippers comes through.
A total aside from Bronco Nagurski?
Right. Well, you know,
we're really getting spiraling
out of
control.
All the stuff that we're talking about, strippers comes through for us once again. Dante Wesley played week one and two for Carolina, but he is not on their roster anymore. So
he's probably modeling somewhere.
Maybe he's wrestling. We said he could have.
Should we get to some emails here? There's some.
We might want to. We're now almost an hour into the show.
There's some draft related stuff. Well, I was.
Do any of them say lunch on the way?
I was kind of encapsulating a lot of what the emails were talking about with some of those without reading all the individual emails. But I wanted to stick with the draft because that's what's coming up and that's what you guys are doing your starting to do
really
your research
like
on
right
too.
Around the
corner. No, well, the combine is the combine.
2 months to talk about it.
Easy, will you? Come on, I got to go in 15 minutes, and one of you chooches has got to take over anyway.
I might leave too.
Shoemakers, if you will.
Shoemakers, that's a good one. I like
that. All right. OU really wants to know your opinions on three Oklahoma players.
I like the middle linebacker.
Okay.
I like Reggie Smith.
Curtis Lofton?
Yeah.
Coming out as a junior, all Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year.
The only thing I like about him is Mel Kiper told me he's good.
Okay. Malcolm Kelly, 6'4 wide receiver, runs well, catches everything. I don't know much about him.
He's high in my rankings.
He's good. Yeah, I just... there's a couple receivers I like better than him, but to give him an advantage, he didn't really play with good quarterbacks the last couple. I mean, I know
this year he did.
He did, but the year before that, they had an abomination at quarterback.
And then Tom's guy, Reggie Smith, good size corner, can play safety. Yep. Rivals has him as the number one corner.
I like him.
Which round do you have them projected?
I think the
linebacker is like a second round pick.
And
isn't
the Smith
has like 27 emails coming in. By
Smith
the way,
is Smith and Kelly. I've seen in first rounds right now.
I know they're all near the top of their positional rankings. You know, going across the board. I'm going to say this about every player that's asked about in the next
but
3 weeks. I'll say more when I see the video.
I believe in strippers. You can chime in on this because I know you're an OU fan. I believe Reggie Smith was out for the West Virginia game that I unloaded on and didn't know. His lack of speed in the secondary was definitely noticeable in that game. But I would compare him kind of to like a Kaysan who can play corner, safety, and return kicks for you. You kind of get a 3-in-1 there.
All right, TC is an Agawam. That's in Massachusetts for those of you not living
Isn't
in
that where Six Flags is?
Yeah, that is correct, Andy. Hello, men, and Eric. Just kidding, Eric.
If Eric went out with five friends, they'd be six. Remove the L from flags.
You're the man, except on weekends. here's an interesting thing on the last drive I haven't really heard anybody talking about. I don't necessarily agree with it, but we'll get your opinion. TC thinks putting Ellis Hobbs out there for the final kick return would have given the Pats a better chance to get the ball to the 35 or 40 if they could have tied the game. I felt good about their chances in overtime because the Giants' defense was getting tired on the last scoring drive. What do you guys feel about that?
Why? Maroney had already shown in that game that he could return kick.
Say.
I mean, they're both proven kick returners. Hmm. Neither of them great, but both of them very productive.
And both have big playability.
Right.
Yeah.
I think.
And Maroney took that first kickoff and took it almost
to
midfield.
43 yards, yeah.
I'd feel confident with either guy back there that either guy could go the distance.
Are they saying that because Hobbs got burned on that touchdown that maybe he would have been the better option because he would have done something to try to make up
for it. Well, he doesn't say that, but maybe that was part of his reasoning.
When you're a mother and your child is stuck under a car, you can pick the car up. When you're in the Super Bowl, you get burnt. You can automatically go right.
Superhuman strength.
Yeah.
Could go the other way and say he'd still be sulking and, you know. Plus, he has a bad groin that had to go under the...
A lot of people think Ed Reed's going to be a Patriot, too.
Someday, I think he will be.
Someday.
But don't the Ravens have to be involved with that process? Yeah,
well, by someday, I mean like 5 years from now.
I mean, I'm sure we'd like to see Adrian
Especially
Peterson.
If Bill's still coaching here.
Oh, well, know. Yeah, that's the... Yeah, if Bill's gone, then I don't think he'll be a Patriot.
Right.
But I think he'll come here when he's done.
Is Bill, he gonna, is he
Bill's so
not,
in love with him.
He's not a free agent.
No, but I mean,
you know?
Bill's so in
but
love
I think
with
a
him.
Lot of people think
when
he
it's
is.
Clear that he's done, Bill will give him an extra chance here.
Yeah, he'll be the new Rodney Harrison. Everyone thought Harrison was done. Bill gave him a chance.
Well, I think even more done than Rodney. Like, flat out done. Because Ed Reed's a superstar. But, and at some point, he's going to be done. But he'll be the team that gives him that extra chance and then realizes, boy, this guy's done.
Like James Williams?
Yeah, just Big one cat? Of those where it's obvious from day one. Be like if Bo Jackson were a free agent and I ran a team. I'd take him today.
All right, Colin has some rumors, and we like to be rumor mongers.
One of the rumors that lunch is on the
so
way?
That's the only reason why, no, we have no emails about lunch, Andy, so stop. Anyway,
we also don't have lunch.
So
we better have it Thursday. That's all.
That's it. If we don't have it Thursday, I'm not returning from the combine.
This is the rumors that Colin
show,
has
I mean,
heard.
New England.
A couple interesting ones. Oh, wants to float to you guys. One, Brian Urlacher will be traded to the Patriots for a first or second round pick.
I heard he was in the tunnel last year.
That's true.
I can't
but it was
imagine.
Aaron Barris.
Didn't he just
he had
a
great year, and he had neck surgery.
I
saw he had that neck surgery. That's scary.
Why are they trading Brian Urlacher?
I have no idea. It's a rumor. Run with it.
Well, make it.
I like to foster the rumors.
No,
man.
I don't
I'm
mind a
rumor,
but make it a legitimate one.
Would you trade the number 7 pick in the draft for Brian Urlacher after
Well, this guy
neck
thinks
surgery?
You're going to get him for a second round pick, a first or second round pick.
I want to make it like debatable. After neck surgery, would you trade?
Yes.
I would too.
Trade the number 7 pick for Urlacher?
I could. Especially yeah,
as long as the medical, as
the
medical
stuff quick
enough. Works out. Yes, I would, absolutely. Number 2, if more evidence is found against him, the commissioner of the NFL tells Belichick, I will suspend you for a year.
Yes.
Depends what the evidence
True.
Is.
Depends what the evidence is.
If it's hard evidence, at least a year.
That
yeah,
seems
I was
to be what
a
lot
of, than a year
that seems to be
evidence.
What a lot of the national guys are talking about now.
I think if there's any evidence. Any evidence at all, because...
Well, I'm saying more than just Matt Walsh saying, well, I did something.
No, but I mean, if there's any hard evidence, and I don't even think it has to be taped the Rams Super Bowl. If there's hard evidence proving anything that wasn't involved with those 6 tapes, I think Goodell made it very clear that he was going to be pretty pissed off if Belichick's statement that he signed to him wasn't accurate. I think he made this personal. He made it a major, major issue the first time around, and I think if there's absolutely anything on any level, he'll suspend him for a year.
He has to, I think.
I think he will. if he finds something. But it's just a matter, you know, like they said, like Andy, I mean, I'm sorry, like Tom and Eric said, you just have to see what it is and what they do find. But I agree with you, Andy. It's going
to
be.
But I don't think it has to be Matt Walsh. I think if there's some tape from 2004,
that he lied to him, I think
then
it's
I think
gonna
he's suspended for a year.
Yes, yeah. I agree. I'm
because
agreeing
and he has to, or Gene Upshaw is going to want to have a meeting with
right.
him because he's going to say, when my players do something wrong, they're suspended for a year, but the coach can do something wrong, you know, this many times, and you're not doing anything about it.
Collins' last rumor was about Greg Allison. Since that was fostered by you,
you heard that here.
You heard that from Tom.
So if let's say there's just an extra tape that's out there,
well, maybe
not necessarily
an extra
super
tape,
but something like that, and it's just like a slap in the face of the commissioner, and he gives him the year. What if there's something even more egregious? Doesn't that mean there'll probably be more than a year, something harsher than a year sentence?
Well, if it's the Super Bowl,
that's what I mean.
I think there's a chance it's a lifetime ban.
That's what I'm getting at.
You've devalued the biggest game in all of sports.
But that would have to be more than Matt Walsh. If Matt Walsh came out with it, and then like a coach came out, and players started coming out and saying, "Listen, we did this. We did this for the Super Bowl." Then you're talking possibly lifetime.
That's what I was getting at.
Evidence.
But I don't think you're going to get that many people coming out.
You're talking about the death penalty there, basically.
Yeah.
All right, Nick is in Las Vegas. He has also taken our approach of no longer wanting to talk about the Super Bowl. So he says he wanted to get our opinions on the 4 new coaching hires. There are no retreads among the 4, as suggested by Paul, I think. So what do you think of Jim Zorn, Tony Sparano, Mike Smith, and John Harbaugh? I looked for you guys at halftime of the Super Bowl but didn't have much time since I was on the complete other side of the horseshoe in the opposite corner. That's Nick in Vegas. So what do you guys think of the four new coaches?
I kind
of
like the Jim Zorn signing.
I was going to say.
I love the fact that they're retreads, but I don't know a whole lot about the individuals.
Yeah. I
like Harbaugh.
I like the younger guys.
Because he's a special teams guy?
Yeah. I have this. Maybe it's just because I like Brad Sealy, but I buy into that whole theory. If they can manage a special teams unit, then they could run a team and just, you know, they have a decent defensive coordinator, a decent offensive coordinator. It's a managerial position on some level. So I'm rooting for those young guys.
Yeah, I'm really rooting for him, Andy. I couldn't agree with you more.
I like to see the different guys get a chance.
Yeah.
And then
who are the others?
Same old.
Mike over his head Smith.
Mike Smith, who doesn't, I mean, it doesn't look good for him based on Marcellus Wiley's not so good.
I can't wait to hear what Andy thinks about him after seeing him.
I am going to have some early reactions on these guys.
I look forward to that.
What
about him?
Is he going to stay in Oakland now?
Yeah. Sounds that way.
Well, that sounds like it'll go well.
Because Al gave him his resignation letter, and Kiffin refused to sign it, and Al doesn't want to pay him. If he resigns, he doesn't have to pay him. If he fires
sounds
him,
sounds like an organization
him.
On the right path to success.
We were right all along. They'll take a step forward when he takes a step into the grave.
All right, Keith is next up.
Did you see here Fossil spinning all his stats about the
white
last,
Denny Green?
Well, he yes,
that's
I agree
all
with
he
that.
Is.
But he was spinning that. I forgot the number, but X number of the last Super Bowl winners were all retread coaches, because Belichick obviously is a retread, Coughlin's a retread, Gruden was a retread. I'm trying to think of how many there would be.
Gruden wasn't exactly a retread.
No, I know, but
did
that
the next,
fits his argument.
Doesn't really suit your argument.
Was the next
there.
Question, okay, Jim, we understand. Let me ask you this. Other than your best friend, you haven't been able to get a job as a coordinator, a position coach. Tell us why.
By the way, your best friend fired
you. Yeah, and then you got fired.
He didn't
by,
have an answer.
You know,
they
asked
him, but he didn't have
an
answer.
A college job? I'm talking like UTEP, anything like that. Nobody
UTEP.
Wants
UTEP.
You. UTEP. Why?
He didn't have an answer. They did ask him.
That was an interesting little storyline that played out the last couple of days with Fossil, though. Did not. Earn any friend. I don't think he made it life easier on him ever getting a job anywhere else.
Well, by
except
ripping,
Oakland.
By ripping,
ripping Serato, ripping Zorn, ripping everybody, basically.
Yeah. I'm most interested in the Sperano hire, not only because he's in the AFC East, but, you know, he was my guy at BU, so.
Oh, okay. What did, our, what did
you,
you
mean
you
by
BU?
Your guy? Because your guy could imply some things that he doesn't want to imply.
I know from experience,
no.
Dude.
He was ever gay head coach
no.
in the NFL?
Oh, stop.
That no, he was the first, anyway.
Really?
Who? No, I have no idea, but
what
I learned
mean?
In
you
health
no
class
idea.
That,
there's
like...
There's no really? Way. There's got to be one of them.
Right. I mean, isn't it like one
odds?
In nine yeah. men is gay or one in something?
Oh, who are you taking shot? Who do you think is... who would be on your list, then?
I could see Mike Martz having gay sex.
Mike Martz?
He is wow. really troubling me today. He's really, really
you
troubling
You don't think
me.
He has a gay look to him?
We suck.
What exactly is that?
I'm going to go with another Rams coach, Scott Linehan.
Could be.
We wow. suck.
I wouldn't know
Rams.
Scott Linehan.
I would give new Rams.
If Scott Linehan walked in right now and took that microphone, I would not have any idea that it was him.
Who else? This is a fun little offseason game. Which past NFL head coach may have been gay?
Yeah, that ought to not get us in any trouble.
And I hate to say it, but I wouldn't doubt if Romeo Crennel goes both ways.
Oh, Romeo, no.
Actually,
Grandpa
just,
Romeo?
They were just showing Joshua Cribbs return a kickoff return on NFL Network, and his name just popped into my head.
We like to have fun. It was a little gay when he did that what would you do if you found out you were in the playoffs thing. That was a little
yay.
Gay. We like to have fun. Pete?
Pete could go anyway.
Yeah, I think
probably.
Pete could. He's like that free lifestyle, yeah. like anything's good with me, penis, vagina,
little,
whatever.
Yeah, he's right. feeling a little dangerous.
Just,
there's no gender
sex
involved.
Sex is sexting.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
She's doing good.
I say Rod Marinelli is not gay.
Rod Marinelli not gay, and I bet you he's quite the homophobe, actually.
Quickly moving off this topic. Keith.
Wait, didn't we have a serious discussion we were going on there? What were we talking about?
We're talking about Sperano.
Oh.
I'm excited to be a head coach.
Aside from the gay questions, I had another tangent I wanted to. Yesterday, okay. the Dolphins made their cuts. Trent Green, Keith Traylor, all those guys. And I found it funny. Both radio stations I listened to, the first thing they said was, Bill Parcells dropping the hammer in Miami. And I'm thinking, and that right there is why Bill Belichick didn't want to be the head coach of the New York Jets. They have a GM and a head coach, and Parcells is supposedly just the overseer.
Right, right.
And the first response people say is, Parcells dropping the hammer.
It's one of my homeboys.
I would think that Parcells would want Trent Green around the way he likes to have those old quarterbacks. He was probably
I thought of that, to be honest.
He
with
was
him.
Probably
he must
overruled.
Really, yeah, he must really not be able
instead,
to
instead, Chris Ferreira wants him as the backup quarterback here.
Jeez.
And that's that. See, the same thing with Trent Green is what I think of all the Dan Morgan stuff. Dan Morgan is not injury prone.
Right.
Dan Morgan has
concussed.
He's got Ted Johnson's problem.
He has a million concussions. Yeah. He can't play.
I don't know if
he
has all of Ted Johnson's problems.
And you might. And you have to. Medically, speaking of that, Eric, what you just said, you have to wonder if the Patriots actually want to take on that.
That's right.
With the whole Ted Johnson.
Plus, Paul. Speaking of my little like first reactions, Dan Morgan didn't have a muscle on his upper body. He was all collarbone.
That's true. Speaking of not having muscle on the upper body, did you ever go to the gym again?
I swear to God, I was going to go yesterday, but I can't shake this cold.
I looked over at you and Eric, and I didn't see much difference.
You know where I noticed it? This picture here. I have no chest anymore.
Nothing.
Me behind Kelly Pickler. There's a huge chest in that picture and no chest. And then there's Paul.
And then the bald guy smiling awkwardly.
Are we taking breaks on this show? We don't have.
I was going to take a break at one.
It's one.
Let me try to squeeze a couple more in here. Keith's free agent, looking ahead to 08. Free agent corners, the guy from the Raiders, I can't pronounce his name, or Marcus Trufant, both 27. If they can't re-sign Asante, what do you think of those two guys? And we all think that they're both going to
be
great.
Plus, even if they don't leave, you're going to have to pay them a lot of money.
Yeah.
That's one of those. If you're going to pay Trufant $65 million, Samuel because I know he works in my system.
The devil you know is better than the devil you don't.
You know, Seattle's already come out and said that he's not going anywhere.
Keith wants an influx of some athleticism because he agrees with us. He thinks they're a little bit old, a little bit slow, and they need some more athletes.
Plus,
and
Seattle's one of those teams that always has enough money.
And we will say this. The lack of speed and athleticism didn't cost him a championship this year.
No.
The defense played well enough to win that game against the Giants. But the problem is, every year you move forward, and every year Seau and Bruschi and Vrabel get a year older, and you have no youth. No, like we were talking like John Beeson that we were watching, Andy, for Carolina, and we were just saying, maybe not him, but that's the type of guy they need, a guy who's flying all over the place. They don't have that guy at
linebacker. There's another Miami fast linebacker this year. Who's got some questions? Didn't play much. He'd be a project type guy, I think. Got his name. Damn it.
All right. The last email for me is from Joseph, and he says, Andy Hart's streak is still alive. My initial shock at the Giants' victory quickly turned into disappointment. Accepting the loss took a little bit longer, but I am officially there. Although some streaks ended on that day, the Pats winning streak, Bill and Brady undefeated in the Super Bowl, one streak remains and will likely never end. You'll recall that one Andy Hart predicted after week two that the Patriots would go undefeated. Once again, Andy was wrong, and his consecutive streak of never being right about anything has continued.
Wait, was it
some
Paul
streaks will
too?
Never die.
Paul was wrong, too.
I thought Chris Ferreira had that streak.
I was also wrong on that.
My streak's nowhere near Chris Ferreira.
No, Chris Ferreira has.
Gil Santos really wrong. I mean, he predicted this 3 years ago.
Wrong for life.
Well, he'll tell us now that he didn't tell anybody, but he knew they'd lose to the Giants in the Super Bowl.
He had a feeling.
Right.
No way, Jose!
Okay, we got a couple here for Joe before I leave. Worst offseason move for the Patriots. This is one of those either-or thing. Lose Samuel or lose Mossy and Stallworth? What would be worse?
Lose Samuel.
Yeah, you got nothing there.
Lose Samuel.
I agree. Colvin retires or Seau doesn't retire?
That's a push.
Yeah, Seau doesn't retire. I don't think he's got anything.
I wouldn't mind Seau coming back if he were playing a reserve role. Not if he was going to be like an every down guy.
I'll take him as a coach.
If he's your sixth linebacker, I got no problem.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like,
Let's be five that go before him.
Bill decides to keep recycling, quote, experienced linebackers, or Pierre Woods and Eric Alexander see significant minutes next year.
Alexander and Woods can't play. I don't think
that would be the worst.
I agree. I think based on their actions, they can't play.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, their actions have only come at like the pinnacle
season. I'm not saying based on the players' actions. I'm saying based on the coaches' actions of not playing those guys.
What, he saves them for the biggest game of the year?
Right. When you get hyped up in the Super Bowl. Patriots pick at 7 or trade pick for a first and a second in next year's draft, and you saved money to pick up a veteran linebacker.
I'll take the part where you save money and
I like
trade.
The trade.
Picks. Yeah.
I like the trade.
Confused.
You like it. You're in our boat. It means getting rid of this year's 7th.
Keep the pick or trade it for a first and second and use the money to sign an experienced linebacker.
I'd rather trade for the first and the second.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. That's what we're saying.
But I thought the game was which is worse. So that's why I was mildly confused.
Oh, okay.
I think we're playing it wrong.
Jeopardy. We might have picked the wrong one.
What is?
Lose Josh McDaniels or lose Dean Pease? What would be worse?
Worse, McDaniels.
Yes.
I think Pease. Break the bank.
You'd rather lose McDaniels than Pease?
Yeah.
You're out of your mind.
Sorry.
I just think Bill does so much with the defense that if he gets someone that kind of knows the system, Although, who knows what McDaniels is doing? Apparently, he didn't know what he was doing in the Super Bowl.
Frankly, I don't think that either one of them would be
who called the blitz
anywhere near as big as Weiss and Cornell.
Who left Ellis Hobbs on an island with Plaxico Burress?
Bill.
That might be Bill or Pease. I don't really know the answer. They both had red on. They both could have signaled it in.
I don't have the answer either. Break the bank on free agents decimating the salary cap for the next 5 to 7 years in the hopes of fielding a strong contender for the next 2 or 3 years, or start rebuilding with an eye toward being competitive for the next 10 years, i.e. cement dynasty, then bust versus consistent playoff contenders for the next 10 years.
They lost one game. And
this is
gone
2 weeks
from
in a row. Remember Fred last week brought up rebuilding? Yeah. Now fans are bringing up rebuilding. The Patriots are in a rebuilding mode?
And I'm going to leave you with this last thing from strippers. Tom Landry? Question mark? Gay?
Oh,
come on.
Jimmy Johnson. I could see Jimmy Johnson being gay.
Why? Because of the hair?
The hair. He cared a lot about the hair.
That guy's a playboy. Are you kidding me? He goes out. He drinks.
Sometimes there's a fine line between playboy and playing with boys.
As Chris Ferreira.
Yeah, he likes. How about them Cowboys?
As Chris
broke
Ferreira
back,
would say.
Jimmy.
Jimmy Johnson's laid some pipe in his day.
When you got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Miles and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we gotta go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo! And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
He's been a three-time champion, two-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
Three touchdown passes in the first half.
Now Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free exclusively from the New England Patriots. This authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com. When you got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mile Down Hot Sack Attack Sausages, Patriots Cheese Brats and Beer Brats, First Down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
And when he can take your center and just blow him.
Well, the moment you've all been dreading is here. That's right, the leg has overtaken the host's chair and the email reading duties on PFW in progress. Paul, what did he
boring.
Have? Boring. Where's Perillo? He just had something,
yeah,
as usual?
He's got a thing. What do I always say? I forgot.
The fat man has left and we're running lean or something?
We cut the fat man and we're running lean.
So it's the leg, Andy Hart, Tom Casale, Gary's behind the glass.
Now, this is your first time hosting.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right. First time hosting the show. Hosting, reading the emails, speaking of
boring.
Emails. Anybody wants to join in, webradio at patriots.com. Webradio, all one word, at patriots.com.
Well.
If you want to call and join into this ridiculous discussion, 508-543-7482.
And when he can take your center and just blow him.
That's not right. That's not right.
Sort of
I wasn't talking about you.
Okay. Sort of appropriate, though, with our discussion we're having.
That's true.
That. You know.
I just find it funny that Eric thought he was talking about him.
Well, you know, usually those jokes are aimed at me anyway, so.
Because you're gay.
And that was the discussion we were having beforehand that Paul wanted to.
Wash his hands
yeah.
up. He doesn't like anything that's fun or.
I'll tell you one thing. Put Don Shula in there.
Really? You think
so?
Oh,
yeah. He always had that feminine look to me.
The topic came up before the break. Which former NFL coach may or may not have. Hit for the other team, if you know what I mean.
Ooh, and,
Andy threw some suggestions out there. Can't remember exactly which one.
Mike
you,
Martz.
Mike Martz. That's
with,
right.
But we were just going from the top of our head
that's
because
true.
This isn't. You know, most people assume when you have a major discussion on a radio show, there mm-hmm. was like a production meeting. You know, we'll talk about former gay coaches, but
right.
we were just talking, and somehow we
dry.
Spiraled into gay.
Because I had brought up I was gonna pay attention to the Tony Sperano hiring in Miami because he used to
he's
be a coach
guy,
of mine.
And I said,
right.
"What do you mean by your
exactly.
guy?"
Exactly.
Okay,
so that's how it all happened. So
but,
Tom, you're saying Shula?
Possibly.
Think? Maybe.
I know Bud.
Why? Because of the list.
Is not gay. Bud Grant. Not gay.
I think he's probably with Rod Marinelli
yes.
in the homophobe category.
You know, Bud Grant reminds me of that character, that Chris Cooper character on American Beauty, where he was the former
yes.
Marine with the you know, and at the end he sort of comes out of the closet in a. You know, homicidal
but,
way.
Yeah,
but.
I could see Shula,
Jimmy Johnson.
No, that's
I love when you get
that's
angry.
That's stupid. The guy. Have you ever seen the women he's been with?
It's called a beard.
That's not a beard. That guy lives a great life. He drinks. He lives on a boat. He's laying pipe. It's a great life.
But you know, there are people that fit that image. That
yeah,
are gay.
He's. I'm telling you, he's not.
Not one. All of them are just obviously gay, like Eric.
Strippers has contributed his thoughts. Jerry Glanville.
Jerry Glanville. I don't see
he
it.
He may be too stupid to be gay.
I don't see it. I think he, in fact, well, when I did my Bill Belichick coaching history thing, I talked to Glanville, and I think he was reminiscing about going out and drinking and womanizing early in their careers.
I can see Glanville being a womanizer. Yeah, oh,
he's
yeah,
big
time.
He's a big drinker. A big drinker.
But he does have that thing for Elvis.
Well, I mean, we have a defensive
yeah,
end. We've got two tight ends, and we don't touch the mother.
I don't see Glanville.
I don't think Glanville. I'm going no.
Yeah,
he's more
I would
of my
say
Jimmy
no.
Johnson boat of wild drinkers.
No, see, I see Jimmy Johnson.
No, you're just saying that. There's no way.
For the record, day two of the offseason.
We're talking about gay coach. I think it's a great discussion, Gary, because you know when you're in high school and they teach you, like, there's enough gay baseball players to have an entire team of them, or you know, all those numbers that how many gays there are? Well, if there's that many gays and there's been 26 to 32 teams over the last 30 years, mm-hmm. one of those coaches at the very least was gay.
We've struck a nerve with our listeners, too, because Uh-oh. The emails are starting to flood in.
See?
Next one,
they love it.
Nick Q doesn't say where he's from, but Nick Q says, Nick Saban, what do you guys think?
I definitely could see that.
Yeah,
why is that?
He's a disgruntled,
I just see it. Yeah.
depressing little man.
Anybody who's that angry, he's
yeah.
having to live in a world that doesn't accept his sexuality. It's like you on this show. It's when you get cranky when we don't accept you being gay.
But we've accepted it. It's just you that haven't.
Being an angry coach means that
no,
you
but
have
he's an angry
no,
person.
But it could be.
Oh, okay.
You know how when he can't be himself,
he's a terrible
his life
person.
Isn't. He's living in a world that doesn't accept what he is. I'm not saying he is. I don't know if I could see it a little bit with him. But that's Bobby Petrino. I could see.
Don't know. Enough
I didn't,
about
yeah, him. I was going to say he was here for a cup of coffee. Don't even know. You know.
But we know they're out there. Tom Flores. Flores? How do you
Flores.
Say
it?
Oh, Flores.
I could see him.
The Raiders guy?
Yeah. I could definitely see him.
He had a weird thing going with the hair. Yeah.
Yes. Maybe that's what's
he was
kind
of
why
is that what it was?
That direction.
He won Super Bowls, though.
Are you saying a gay coach couldn't win a Super Bowl?
I'm just saying.
Guy.
That's kind of ironic from you, saying that being gay would limit their abilities to succeed.
Joseph Walsh.
Then that's when they smoke it.
Another listener chiming in on the discussion. I'm glad we finally got to this, he says. This is an important conversation for our country. Dripping with sarcasm. My choices. This is Joseph Walsh. Woody Hayes, although he don't believe he was an NFL coach, was he?
No.
He was only Ohio State.
That would be one of those guys who was really hiding it because he's a mean old cuss.
Oh, yeah.
But he could go.
Could
be his effort to go the
yes.
other way, to be over
sure.
the top.
Rick Neuheisel.
Oh,
well, that's
definitely
obvious.
Could, oh, yeah.
He says this one seems obvious, he put in
yes.
close.
Yes.
A little surprising here. Vince Lombardi. And his reasoning, his trophy is pretty phallic.
But he didn't design the trophy.
Yeah, I'm going to say no to Lombardi.
I don't
really say
know.
No to Lombardi.
My inclination is no, but I don't really know.
By the way, the Vince Lombardi book by David Marinus, I highly suggest you read it if you like NFL history. I didn't highlight it, actually.
As soon as I start reading, I'll give it a look.
Oh, you've been reading, Tom. Come on.
Come on.
You had two books that you were interested in this season.
What were they?
Well, you had the one that you were taking on the road about the serial killers.
Yeah, and I'm on chapter two, and I've been taking that. That's been about a 6-month process.
And there was a second book that you mentioned to me recently.
I forgot what it was. Well, I did mention another book.
The writer's strike ended.
Yeah.
True.
TV's back, baby.
And then his last two, Mike Nolan and Jack Del Rio, because they're snappy dressers. They're the ones who wore the suits on the sideline during the games recently. So.
Yeah. Maybe Nolan.
Yeah, I don't
Hanging
feel strongly about
Fran
it either. Yeah, well, San Francisco, that's interesting.
Joe Paterno, not gay.
Oh, because he coaches in San Francisco?
That could be.
Does that
maybe he picked that job because of the location.
Does that mean George Seifert? Does that put him on
I
your
could
list?
See Seifert being
I'd
gay.
Put him near the top
I wouldn't
of the list.
Put him on the no list.
You know why? Because you remember that commercial he did where he was singing the Bossa Nova?
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And the karaoke?
Remember
you remember that one? That would probably qualify, but that was before any time.
Yeah,
no, I'm sure.
Let's see. Lovey Smith is for another listener writes in. Lovey Smith. This is Christian from
a lot of
Boston.
People have said that about Lovey Smith.
Really?
Think so?
Yeah. Well, no. I'm just saying that's kind of been a rumor,
mm-hmm.
I should say.
Lawrence in Ireland chimes in. How about Dave Wanstead?
Oh, yeah. I could see him, definitely. Yeah.
Really?
Him and Jimmy.
Because he's angry
on.
All the time.
That's why that's they were so close.
That's why Jimmy gave him the boot.
Jimmy gave him his Jimmy, if you know what I'm saying.
Boy, strippers just won't give up. He keeps sending all these names in. Wayne Fonts.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say Wayne Fonts. There's no question. Matter of fact, I'm not even going to say that's a rumor. I'm going to guarantee it. Wayne Fonts, gay.
New Bedford's own Wayne Fonts.
Yes.
Weeb Eubanks. All right, come on, strippers. Now he's just throwing names out there. This is.
I have never seen Weeb Eubanks. I don't know what he looks like.
Oh, really? You probably would say he is because he's kind of short. Little fat, white hair, thick, like, black glasses.
Mr. Magoo?
Not quite Mr. Magoo, but kind of goofy looking. So.
Gary says, quote, this probably borders on slander. Next topic.
But why? What's, it's not like it's a disease.
Right. It's okay to
be
gay, ask Eric.
That's the part I don't get, though. If you're saying that someone is a homosexual, that's supposed to be bad. You have to have press conferences. But if we were talking about people we thought were straight, it'd be different. Right?
Right.
So who's making those rules?
So let's play a new
society.
Game. Which WNBA player is straight? Guess.
All right.
It's
got to
be a couple.
Web radio.
The ones that have been knocked up.
Webradio at patriots.com. If you want to talk about football, which we've also been talking about throughout the show, the draft is coming up. Free agency is about to start at the end of this month. Webradio at patriots.com. You can call us 508-543-7482. There's still time for you to get in on lunch for us today, folks.
No, there isn't. It's over.
There's still
time. The dream
time.
Has ended. It ended in Glendale. Just like the dream of the perfect season ended, the dream of us getting lunch every day ended. Our fans have let us down.
All right. Here's an email about what we were talking about earlier, which was free agency in the offseason and all that. It's from Pratyaksh
I hope I'm pronouncing that right. If I'm not, please correct me. Hey, PFW buds, still reeling after the devastating Super Bowl loss. Anyway, just noticed that Rodney Harrison plans to come back for one more year. This should keep the safety position with some decent depth, having Sanders and Merriweather as well. As for wide receiver, I can see the Pats re-signing Gaffney and Moss, but Stallworth is probably gone. Do you guys think Chad Jackson will be given the chance to take the field and try to live up to his draft worth, or will the Pats try to bring in someone like Marty Booker as an additional wide receiver?
Marty Booker?
And is Kelly Washington likely to come back? So he's covering all topics there.
To be fair, Marty Booker passes the Wes Welker rule in that he's had success against the Patriots.
No, he has. I just don't see him fitting in with this team because I think Welker plays the slot. Booker's a outside receiver. He's lost all his speed. My guess is he's close to done, like
I
being
would
retired. Chad Jackson. I said to Andy during the Super Bowl, I said, when was he returning kicks? It was either the Super Bowl or the AFC Championship game. I turned to you and I said, this guy hasn't shown me one single thing that he can do.
And now, I think there's a chance, and I don't know if it would be a surprise or not, that he's final round of camp cuts as a former Patriot.
He's not fast at all. I mean, we've seen enough now. We have enough of a sample. That's not 4.3 speed. No way. He's not dynamic as a return man. He's shown nothing as a receiver. I just think maybe he does, you know, turn it on, but to expect him to, I don't think the team is going to expect him to be like the third receiver.
Now, what happens if, you know, let's say Moss doesn't come back for whatever reason? Stallworth's gone, and you know, Gaffney maybe
you
not.
You need a receiver.
You need another receiver.
I think you're very close to this. Just Chad Jackson was a total bust, didn't fit, didn't work, gone.
Or is it just the fact that he's been injured?
He wasn't.
No, he hasn't shown me anything.
I agree.
Especially in the speed. I mean, this guy was supposed to be a dynamic, like, speedster. He's shown me nothing.
Now, maybe you're right. Maybe there's a chance the hamstring and then the ACL, and we see this year, a year removed in camp, maybe he wows us. Maybe he's one of those guys we go out there and go, holy crap, that's a different Chad Jackson. But if aside from that, he's gone. I think there's no real future for him here.
And when you look at a guy like, you know, I like Gaffney. He's one of my favorite players on the team. But I think he's better suited for third, fourth type guy, you know, when you have more quicker guys on the outside. Now you start taking away Moss and Stallworth, and you're asking Gaffney to take on a bigger role like he did a couple years ago, and that's not his game. You know, I think he's more of the kind of like Welker working out of the slot. So I think you have to have some kind of threat on the outside. So if you lose Moss, you need to bring someone else in.
I think there's a chance you bring Stallworth back on a new deal if you lose Moss, because I just don't see him getting huge money on the open market. He seems like he likes it here. He seems like he fits in well.
Oh, nobody wanted him this year.
Right.
That was after he had a good season.
That's what I mean. So I don't think it would be that hard. I mean, you automatically assume, well, he's not going to accept a lower deal because you owe him $8 million and you come back and say, we'll give you this. He's going to look elsewhere. I'm not sure he'll find anything elsewhere. So he might be a guy that you can get on a renegotiated deal at a lower cost. I still think he can bring some value to a team. I think he's still a decent receiver.
I was wondering that, too, because, you know, this receiving core, even though it was mostly new, it seemed to gel very well very fast, as opposed to last year where it took more than half the season for that to happen.
Right.
Right. So, and you know, they only did lose one game, and it wasn't the Super Bowl. So if I'm one of those guys, I might be thinking, hey, you know, like you said, if there's not a lot of interest out there, why not just try to stay here and try to duplicate some of the success that
I think another concern would be is what happened in the postseason? Moss disappeared. Stallworth was a non-factor. Was it defenses? Was it, like, the coaching staff would have to come up with, you know, have to
figure this out. The biggest question is Moss, because Stallworth, let's be honest, was a non-factor most of the year. But it's hard to say all of a sudden, well, now we're in the postseason, Stallworth's going to be a key contributor on this offense. You know, I think Stallworth, you can even spin to him. If Moss leaves, well, we can throw you into a Moss-type role, and you could be the key factor in this offense. So I think there's a lot to maybe entice him back, a lot of reason to say, just because we're not going to pay you the huge money, we'd still like you back. And I think there's a chance you see that playing out. But more importantly, we have our Urban Dictionary phrase of the day.
More importantly,
really?
We have lunch for Thursday.
Strippers?
Yep.
Coming through? Okay, here we go. Strippers just chiming in.
This is more important.
I just checked my bank account, he says.
And it's huge.
My refund came in. Who do I call? What do I order? Where does it get sent? Hurry.
Christ, you got your refund already? I haven't even put my taxes
in. I haven't even filed yet. I'm not
strippers,
sure.
Strippers, I will email you the information for Thursday.
There you
go. Thank you, strippers.
There you go. Thanks a lot, my man.
I don't even think I've gotten all my little thingies yet in the mail.
The 1099s and all that stuff?
Oh, I don't pay those freelance stuff.
No, that just tells you, the, like, all the
that gives you all your tax info for like every.
Tom's saying he ignores everyone except the Patriots one.
Now you got it.
Oh, really?
Might not want to say that. On the air.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I say, come
Tom
get me.
Casale.
You might want to call your accountant, Tom.
Come get me.
But the Urban Dictionary phrase of the day, courtesy of Gary Gadecki, coaching from the sidelines. And what it means is a case of constipation so severe it leaves you talking to your poo to try to get it to come out.
I've had that.
Oh, my God.
I'll be honest with you.
I've coached from the sidelines.
Wow. You don't.
Never had that in my life.
You got to beg it to stay in.
Yep. I'd be accused of running up the score.
Went in as a hot dog and came out as orange fire water.
By the way, this made the top five of things people dislike about the show. Too much talk about digestive problems and bowel movements.
That's right. Another guy that was mentioned in that email, Kelly Washington, obviously didn't catch a pass this year.
He can't play receiver. We saw that. We saw that in training camp.
Good special teamer.
Kelly Washington has his role. He's going to be Larry Izzo, where if you get injuries, you can throw him in there as a slot receiver, but he's the special teams guy.
But he could go elsewhere. I mean, he's a guy that I think some team could target and say, we want you to be the Larry Izzo of our special teams. We want you to.
Or they may not have the footage we have and think he can play receiver.
Well, if that's the case, then they're mistaken. But, you know, I think you see teams do that. Every team has a core special teams guy. I think Washington could be one of those guys anywhere.
Well, here's my question then. Larry Izzo's getting a little long in the tooth. Do the Patriots maybe keep Washington, seeing him taking over that special teams guy role from Izzo?
Oh, yeah, you can
I
have
think
both.
So. It's not going to be Willie Andrews.
Yeah, Willie Andrews is an ex-Patriot.
He's got other issues.
Just hasn't gotten the news yet.
His special teammate story really took a hit.
Good news is it won't hurt his finances because he's making a lot more money doing other things.
All right, webradio at patriots.com. 508-543-7482.
This guy gives out the phone. You're like a real radio station, like ESPN.
If they want to call, they'll call.
Oh,
move on. Read an email.
All right.
Actually, Eric, nice job.
Thank you, Gary. Thank you.
Gary, we're not real radio. If we were real radio, we wouldn't be able to discuss former NFL coaches who were gay.
And I don't want anyone calling.
And usually when they call, you blow them up. So what the hell are you talking about?
All right.
You're full of crap.
Another emailer, Aaron from Middletown, New York. Do you know where that is, Tom? Is that upstate?
No. It's near the city, I believe.
Oh, okay. Aaron throws this name out there, Bill Cowher.
Nah.
I don't see it.
He's got that annoying wife and those annoying kids.
Yeah, I think he's just a normal Joe.
What's that?
It's a special moment.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And that's a special moment.
Really long email from James in Roanoke Rapids.
You got some place to be?
No.
No, we like to cut those down.
Yeah, I'm trying to.
Here's what I do, Eric. First, I scan the email for my name. If I don't see that, I scan it for one of these guys' name with a negative connotation attached to it. Yep. If I don't see that, I just look for draft or something. And
Eric can't delete every email that has bad things to say about him.
Right, because I'll be deleting all of them. I know.
We'll be, what do you guys got to say?
Well, that falls under my first one. You search for your name. So if you see Eric, you read it.
But what if it says, Eric's useless and gay?
It doesn't matter. If you see your name, you read it.
Oh, the whole school of any publicity is good publicity?
Yeah. Unless it's too bad. If it's about me, I just delete it.
James says, I know you're ready to get on with the offseason because you have had time to talk to no end about your frustration over the loss by the Patriots. But since this is only your second show after the Super Bowl, and I only saw this after your first post-Super Bowl show, and I think you should give some of the fans not in New England area and who don't have anyone to vent with a chance to talk about the Giants game more.
Okay, so vent. Bring it, James, vent.
Is this that stupid email about the holding penalty?
He says, I was watching the NFL Network's replay of the Super Bowl, and since I have a DVR, I was able to play and replay in slow motion the pass play near the end of the game where Manning looks like he's in the grasp and no whistle was blown.
He wasn't in the grasp. I've seen that play
a hundred
times.
He
wasn't. Not in the grasp.
Did you guys get the little iTunes download card that was in our little seat cushion at the Super Bowl? You get, like, free highlights. So I downloaded those, and I was able to watch. That was the only replays.
I just watched the game over 100 times on NFL Network.
And it's ridiculous. He looks like he should have been.
It looks
in
like
real time.
Should,
it looks like he should have been taken down.
But
you go back and watch it.
At no point was he being held to the point where you would blow the whistle.
No, and you got to give
Gary
him. You got to give him credit for that.
Said he was expecting to have to blow the whistle, but never had to.
It was almost like a play they just showed on NFL Network a few minutes ago, the Marion Barber run against the Patriots, where he should have been tackled about 100 times, but for some reason they just kept missing him.
And he says, "I will." Still say that the Giants won the game, and I agree that the officials should not call ticky-tacky penalties that might have helped decide such a big game as the Super Bowl.
I just think for an official to decide not to call anything when so many blatant penalties were happening right in front of him smacks of favoring the Giants. You know what?
Wow.
You can't complain
what
about
penalties?
The you can't complain about that.
I mean, I heard people talk about a holding penalty on Richard Seymour. You mean like the holding penalty on Marcus Pollard in the AFC Championship game? I mean, come on now. This is a bunch of crap.
No, the referees did nothing to
undefeated team, two touchdown favorite. And you got to hand it to you. You just got to take it and shut up. I'm sorry. That's just what you have to do.
No, you're right, Tom. I agree with
let's
you.
Let's be honest. Most fans have. This is a small – I think most of our fans have been very good about saying, we got to move on.
Yes,
there's
true.
A small sampling of fans that cannot accept the defeat.
And Eric, did you hear me coming in crying about penalties in the Cowboys game?
No.
You know why I did it? Because the Giants whooped them. They whooped them, and they deserved to win. And Dallas had a chance in that game late, but if they had won, they would have been lucky to win. They didn't deserve to win. They have a little bit more talent than the Giants have. Like the Patriots have a lot more talent than the Giants have and put themselves in position to win. But it wasn't the refs. It wasn't the penalties. It wasn't the clock. It was the Giants. They punched you in the mouth, and the Patriots never punched back.
In fact, you know, I think the refs made a few good heads-up plays in that game, particularly like that fumble, the strip sack. When was it Bradshaw, I think, who sort of batted it forward? You know, that was a heads-up call because the Giants recovered the ball, let's not forget. And they would have gotten a first down out of it. You know, if they don't get that penalty, they have a first down closer to I think it might have been even in the red zone.
Yep.
So you got to give them credit for at least being on top of that. And like you said, they're a